Thank you so much, Kevin, for the privilege, and good morning, everybody. Trust that you're doing well. So I put on my big boy pants this morning because this jean that I'm wearing is actually a hand-me-down from Kevin when he became a bigger boy. So I pray that dat ek nie te lig in die broek gevind sal word nie. Yeah, so it's a wonderful privilege to be on the team of elders and to really speak into your hearts this morning. I want to speak to you about faith. Not wobbly, momentary belief, but a steadfast, kingdom-advancing, resolute faith. And so as part of my introduction, I want to show you this two-minute video clip. It's quite a cute video clip that illustrates this concept of faith and trust in Jesus and how we often find it difficult to trust him. So Brent, over to you to just play this quick clip and then we'll take it from there.
I just don't trust you.
You don't trust me?
No, I mean, I want to trust you. I just don't.
I have an exercise that I think will really help.
Oh, okay.
Stand here and face this direction. Mm-hmm. Now, do you trust me?
No, I just said I don't trust you.
All right, well, this is all part of the exercise.
Oh,
all right.
Right. Okay.
Whenever I ask you if you trust me, you say, yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Even though I don't.
It's practice.
Okay.
So, do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Are you going to catch me?
Don't worry about that part.
Okay, that's the part I'm worried about.
You can do this, okay? Just trust me.
Trust you.
Fall back.
Okay, well, Jesus, I trust
Good.
You. Yes, I do trust you. I'm going to fall
okay.
back.
Woo! Oh, okay.
That's great.
Okay. Let's try this again. Just face this direction and keep your feet planted, all right? Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
All right.
I'm really going to do it.
Okay. Good. You're ready for level two!
Level two, here
yes.
I come, baby! Woo!
Whoa!
Whoa.
Okay, hold it.
Oh, you know what? You're too close. You need to move back.
Ah, right.
Okay.
This one's a little bit different, Laura.
Oh, okay.
Stand here.
Uh-huh.
But face me.
Woo! Forward fall.
Okay.
I can do that.
Wait.
Whoa.
Okay. Wait for my signal.
Oh, right. The Jesus signal.
Yes, the Jesus signal. Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus. I trust you so much.
Good. Fall back.
That's awesome.
It is awesome, especially when you do it.
Seriously?
Of course.
Okay, Jesus, I don't know if you noticed this, but there is nobody over there.
I know it looks that way to you.
It looks that way. It is that way.
You can do this, Laura. Just trust me and fall back.
Jesus, I can't do that.
We can do it together.
I can't.
You can.
I won't.
Sure. So can you relate to that? We all face different experiences and of that. And this morning, I want to speak to us as a congregation, as a family. And I'm married to Pietru, and we've got three beautiful girls. So I'm a father in the Wagner household. But since coming onto eldership, I'm also a father in this house. And so I want to speak to you as a father this morning. And I know what it's like with children. It's like you want to sometimes take them in a direction, and they don't want to go. When it's Papa tight, then the one wants to draw a picture, the other one wants to play in the treehouse, and the other one wants to play hide and seek. But to get them all together to move in the same direction, that's quite a challenge. But that's what I want to attempt to do this morning when I speak to us as a family. I really feel in my heart that the Lord wants to speak with each and every single one of you. From the very back to the very front, from this corner to this corner, there's not one person that the Lord wants to not speak with this morning. I know that we all in different places, on different levels of faith, but we shouldn't be in a place where some are running and then some aren't. where we fractured or scattered, but that we would be one body running together, united in our pursuit of Jesus. So I'm not preaching this morning to entertain you. I'm not going to give you fanciful information. I'm preaching and teaching for life change. I want to begin with the end in mind and share with you what I'm going to call you forward for at the end. So there are two groups in this room. There are some people here, you've never actually committed your life to the Lord Jesus. You don't really know him. And there's an opportunity for you to meet him. There's some people here that you once burned with fire for Jesus, but you've drifted. And your heart is kind of shallow or distracted. And there will be an opportunity for you to respond and commit fully to the Lord Jesus this morning. And then there's a second group I want to call forward, and that's a group of people that you know the Lord, you love him, and you want to be used by him. You want to preach the gospel. You want to be used in at your workplace, in your family, and even in the church context. And you might feel like there's a delay or in your calling, or you feel distracted a little bit as well, or discouraged, and you just need some fresh fire. So there will be an opportunity for you as well to come forward and receive prayer for mountain-moving faith. All right. So don't just listen with your brain in these next few moments. Listen with your heart and get ready to respond. Okay, let's dive in. So what sets us apart as Christians? It's our faith. Christians are called believers. But oftentimes, our faith is flaky. You know, we change our convictions like we change our WhatsApp statuses. And I'm reminded of this instance where Peter, he had this encounter with Jesus where Jesus asked, "Who do the people say that I am and who do you say that I am?" And then Peter had this glorious revelation where he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And in that moment, Peter was speaking the very words of the Father. Because you remember the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." But then in the very next moment, when Jesus started explaining how he must go to the cross and suffer and die, that didn't fit into the religious mindset that Peter had in his plan for Jesus in his life. So he was saying like, no, Jesus, sorry, you can't go through with that. So the one moment he was speaking the very words of the Father, the next moment he's speaking the very words of the devil and had to be rebuked by Jesus. So get behind me, Satan, for you do not know the will of God. And that's oftentimes the way we are as well. Like we hear God's voice and we have these beautiful revelations, but then the next minute we just listen to the devil as well. And there were many disciples even that left Jesus when the teaching became hard. And they were offended and left him. And today, we have many people who backslide or they're lukewarm. They've got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. But Jesus is calling us to something this morning, and that is to resolute faith. So the title of my message this morning is Resolute Faith. Unwavering, enduring, fruit-bearing trust in Jesus. Now, I'm Afrikaans boekie, so I don't really know what this word resolute means. So I had to go look it up, because that's the word that Holy Spirit deposited in my heart. And I was like, okay, that sounds cool. What does it mean? So I'm about to ask 9 people to help me explain what this word means. So I've at random placed 9 little pieces of paper on the left side of your chair on the inside. If you find a paper on the inside of your chair, on the left, on your left foot of the chair with press stick, Just stand up with your piece of paper. All right, you can come forward, yeah? There should be one there in the back as well, Peter. Okay, great. Okay, so we found some. Some are still missing. That's all right. Okay, so let's just start over here. You can just read out what's on your paper, a synonym to resolute.
Tenacious, holding on tightly.
Enduring, lasting through hardship.
Unyielding, not giving way under pressure.
Unshakable, not easily moved.
Steadfast, fixed in purpose.
Faithful, loyal, and reliable over time.
That's awesome. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you, guys. So that's the kind of faith that God is looking to find in our hearts. It says, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? And that's the kind of faith he'll be looking for. So we're going to dive into the key scripture for the morning. And that is Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 to 23. So please take out your Bibles, if you've got a physical Bible or your digital Bible, and turn there with me. We're going to read it. And as Kevin explained, as elders, we felt we want to encourage you guys to bring your Bibles to church and to participate in scripture reading to confirm, number one, that we are actually speaking from the Bible, and then also to mark it, because it's a personal experience. If you actually make a little bookmark or a highlight or something to that, and then you go back to that and you find that again. Christians were once called the people of the book, and may we be that again. So I'm actually not going to read the scripture. I'm going to ask you to read the scripture from verse 1 to 23. It's a nice substantial portion of scripture, but it's the very words of Jesus himself as he taught the parable of the sower and then explained it as well. He explains why he teaches in parables and then explains the very parable as well. So I'm going to just delegate, as Jesus delegated this task of preaching to me, I'm just going to hand it back to him and ask him to help me with this sermon, and let you give 3 to 5 minutes to read this. I'm a slow reader, and it took me like 3.5 minutes, so it should take you less. But just read it carefully. I'm going to give you enough time, and then if you do not have a Bible, we are going to put it on the screen, and you can follow on the screen. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Jesus, thank you for your words. It's so powerful. Thank you that we get to have it 2,000 years later in our laps, Lord. Just acknowledge that it is holy and it is powerful. We want to heed to that this morning, Lord, and I pray that as I try my best to unpack this, that you would grace me, Lord, with utterance to be able to speak this, Lord, and pray that every heart would be open to receive. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's expose this scripture a bit. Parable of the sower, of course, Jesus is the sower, or his preacher, that his vessel through which he speaks as well. The seed, of course, is the word of God, and then the soil is the hearts of the hearers. And there are four types of responses or heart conditions, so to speak, that Jesus explains to us. And each one of us in this room has one of these in our chest or in our inner beings, not our physical hearts necessarily, but the epicenter of our being, our will, intellect, and emotions. So the first one is the footpath soil. And this is the hardened heart. Now, this heart is hardened. It's like callous. And now again, I'm Afrikaans boekie. What does callous mean? It's basically like these very talented musicians this morning playing with their guitar. Their fingers need to become callous in order for the strings not to cut into their flesh. When you start playing guitar, it cuts into you. It's sore, and then it becomes so hard that you don't feel it anymore. And so this condition that Jesus is speaking about, the first one, is a hard heart. So it makes the seed of the word makes no impact. It's like a well-worn path. Think about a field, like the path that people walk every day. It's really hard. It's exposed by the sun, and it gets trampled on, and it's impenetrable. So to make it plain, this is the person who's stuck in their ways. They've got some old habits that they're not willing to let go of. They just, this is who I am. It's almost like that can't teach an old dog new tricks mentality. You know, you're not willing to change. So you might come to church because you were invited or because of tradition. It's like it's the right thing to do. But there's no hunger for more of God. Okay, so this heart is unreceptive. And it might be because of pain. You've been hurt in your life or past disappointments or even pride. So I want to issue a warning for those that feel like they've got this heart condition. If you don't soften your heart, then the word can't take root. And it's not because the word is not powerful, but because you don't let it sink in. And because you don't let it sink in, that's why Jesus uses this example of the birds of the air coming to snatch it away. If the seed is in the ground, there's no way the birds can get it. So the evil one cannot get to you if you let the word sink in. So an example would be a teenager scrolling through Instagram while somebody's preaching because they just think it's boring or irrelevant. Or a cynic that's burned by religion and so like, ugh, I don't really know if this is really real. And you might ask such a person, do you think that the gospel is not reaching everybody? And then he would say like, I don't know, I don't care. Ignorant and apathetic. The second type of soil is a rocky soil. So this is the shallow heart. So they respond to the word with emotion. They get quite excited actually about Jesus and about this feeling that they get, but they don't have any conviction. So they're torn between the calling of God and sin. I remember when I knew God from a very, very young age. Since I was 8 years old, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and God was always real to me. But then my parents got divorced and fell away, and we stopped going to church. So this flame just stopped being kindled. It actually dwindled and faded away. But I knew that Jesus was coming back for a pure and spotless bride on the clouds, right? So every time that there was a thunderstorm, I come from the Free State, so there's like proper thunderstorms over there. There's a thunderstorm, and I would think, oh my goodness, it is the time. Jesus is coming now. And then I would fall on my knees next to my bed and just repent of my sin. Lord, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And I would say these words. I would say, Lord, I really want to live for you, but I just can't right now. And that is a rocky swell. You can't be in two places at once. I remember when I was a teenager, I went to a youth conference, and yes, the music was pumping and there was a vibe, and I was like all excited about Jesus. And then after the conference, go home and back to my girlfriend, and then all that was forgotten. And that's the rocky swell, where you're like, it's God, but then it's not, kind of thing. I want to say to you that emotion might start the fire, but it's surrender that will keep it burning. The third type of swell is thorny swell. That is the crowded heart. So this is somebody that genuinely knows the Lord and even loves the Lord, loves the church, but they've got a divided heart. They want both the kingdom and the world. So the word is choked by the busyness of life. So there's worries, and there's wealth, and there's comfort, and there's approval of other people. So like, you've got these two groups of friends, your church friends and your worldly friends. And you know, you kind of want to be in with both crowds. So you can talk the talk. You speak the language, Christianese, you know how to pray and to share Bible verses and all of that stuff, but it's not the only, God is just one voice among many voices in your heart. And this is somebody that kind of reads Bible on the go, you know, on the gym, just quickly listening to audio Bible or between Zoom calls, you know, or meetings, or somebody that works off the comm late into the night because there's work to be done, or easily just skip community altogether, or the things of God, the assembly of the saints. It's like, that's not that important, you know. I can just skip this one. And that is the thorny swell right there. And I want to issue a warning for those that judge that they've got this type of swell. It's not just sin that chokes the word of God, it's distraction. And then the final type of swell is the good swell. That is the receptive heart. The heart that is resolute in faith, that hears and understands the word of God. They're not perfect, but they are surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. They're obedient, they're hungry, and they're bearing the fruit of the Spirit. It's evident from the outside. So an example would be a student that chooses purity over popularity. And we've got some of those in our church, which I'm so grateful for. A dad praying for his children every day, doing Bible study with them, even when things are tough in his own life. Or a woman who forgives when deeply wronged and trusting that God will bring justice. I want to say to you that it's okay for you to be broken, because good soil is often broken for the seed to penetrate and for the water to filter in and for it to be loose enough so that the weeds can come out. And so I want to give you just this context of this parable that Jesus taught. It's in the context of seven kingdom parables that he taught. This is the first one in Matthew 13. The others are much shorter. But it's a prophetic foresight of how the kingdom advances. It starts with the parable of the sower, our response to the word, and then it ends with the dragnet, where there's a final separation between true believers and those who didn't fully believe. And that's the division between heaven and hell. Now, we are still in an opportune time where we can respond to God's word. But the question is, how is your swell? So I just want to interlude quickly with a commercial break. Speaking about faith, you know, oftentimes it's about faith of what you can get, like provision, right? You're believing for something to receive. And so I just want to come in here and speak briefly about misguided models of faith. Now, of course, on a grand scale, there are different religions. They call them different faiths as well. And then within Christianity as a religion, there are different sects or subsects of faith. And then within evangelical Christianity, which we are part of, there are many false doctrines or false teachings. And so I just want to highlight one of them pertaining to provision. And it's the one that's often coined as prosperity gospel, okay, or the name it, claim it, and frame it gospel, where there's not a lot of action, but there's a lot of entitlement. And so there's this word that they sometimes use called manifestation, where you just manifest the very things prophetically what you want, and then God will give it to you. So I want to tell you this tongue-in-cheek story of this old lady who's a widow, and she wanted a new husband. And so she bought a three-piece suit, and then she laid it on the bed, and then she said, I'm doing the manifestation so that God will fill the suit with a new husband. And so every day she said, I'm doing the manifestation and God will fill the suit with a new husband. And so a young grandchild heard about this thing. And so one morning he asked her, Grandma, when is the man of the station coming? And so the older grandson, the teenager, he also got wind of this. And so he thought that's actually quite clever. So he went out and bought a pretty little dress and laid that on his bed and prayed for a girlfriend. But the thing is, James 4 teaches us, he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you might spend it on your pleasures. So real faith is actually knowing God's will and trusting Him to fulfill it. So Jesus told Peter to cast the net on the other side, right? But Peter still had to cast the net. When Peter had some tax problems and he needed money for temple tax, Jesus didn't just make the money appear out of thin air as if he was a genie in a bottle. He said to Peter, well, you've got a trade. You're a fisherman. Go fish. And then he went fishing, and in the fishing, there was a pearl within the mouth of the fish. God works with us in order to provide for us. He works with our faith. So faith is not passivity. It's a partnership with God, hearing His voice. And Matthew 6, verse 8 says the following, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So I know that there's some among us that are struggling, and it's very real. I'm not trying to diminish that. But I want to comfort you with these words, that the Father knows what you need, and He will provide. Amen? Okay, so then I want to speak about, like, what is it that we do put our faith in? Because, you know, and I want to coin it as three dimensions of faith. Because we don't have faith in faith, you know, or just positive vibes, you know, or just a hype. Or even self-confidence. Sometimes that can be like, I've got faith in myself, you know, kind of thing. That's not the kind of faith that the Bible speaks about. Okay? Biblical faith is rooted in the character, in the promises, and in the purposes of God. Okay? So it's confidence in His ability, not our own. So the first dimension of faith is faith in Jesus Himself. Okay? So where true faith begins, it's not behavior, it is the person, Jesus. And I want to tell you about Him today. If you don't know Him, or just beginning to know Him, let me tell you about Him. He is the greatest man that ever lived. He had no servants, yet they called Him master. He had no degree, yet they called Him teacher. He had no medicines, yet they called Him healer. He had no army, yet kings feared Him. He won no military battles, yet He conquered death. He committed no crime, yet He was crucified. He was buried in a tomb, yet He lives today. Isn't that awesome? He defied human boundaries, human limitations. In chemistry, He turned water into wine. In biology, He was born of a virgin. In physics, He ascended into heaven, defying gravity. In economics, he multiplied bread and fishes. In medicine, he healed without prescription. In history, he's the Alpha and the Omega. In government, he is called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace. In theology, he is the Way, the Truth, and the Life. No one goes to the Father except through him. Do you believe that? Awesome. Awesome. So yesterday, in finalizing this message, sharing with you today, I overheard my five-year-old daughter, Lumay, speaking with a cousin in the Netherlands. And she was telling her cousin about the movie we as a church went to watch last week, The King of Kings, that animation about the gospel. And it was such a special moment where she was explaining all the miracles that Jesus did. And then she got to the part where he died on the cross. And she said, I started crying when I saw him die on the cross. And then she started preaching to her cousin saying, do you know that Jesus died for our sins on the cross? That's saving faith. Receiving that gift that Jesus died in our place. And that's a five-year-old. And then we've got a 95-year-old or somewhere along that lines, Uncle Stan over here, that still believes the very same thing. Each of us need to come to that realization that Jesus is the way. The second dimension of faith is faith in the seed. That is his word, both the logos, the written word, and the rhema, the spoken word. I want to say something about the Bible. The Bible has a provable supernatural origin. 66 different books written over 1,500 years by 40 different authors in 3 different continents, in 3 different languages, yet there's one consistent redemptive message. Isn't that powerful? That is provably supernatural. Scientists can't disprove anything the Bible states as fact. The Bible is the most published, the most banned, the most quoted, the most prophetic, and the most transformative book in history. Do you believe what is written in it in this age of skepticism? The question is, how do you respond when he speaks? And he does speak. His very name is Word. He speaks. He speaks through his scripture. He speaks through prophetic voices. He speaks through accountability meetings. He speaks through counseling sessions. He speaks through sermons. He speaks through con groups. How do you respond to that? Because the rhema word is the now word. That is the word that God is speaking to you personally in your context. And he's saying, giving you direction. Or he's confirming something that you heard with a still small voice. Or he's giving you empowerment to do the very things that he commands you to do. So faith without scripture is just opinion. Faith without hearing is just religion. So there needs to be this balance where we listen in alignment with the scripture and then obey. That's true faith. Faith in the seed. And then the final level of faith is faith for others. This is kingdom advancing faith. Now, there's only 2 times recorded where Jesus actually spoke that somebody had great faith. He uses this word. I haven't found this great faith in all of Israel. And incidentally, both cases were non-Jews, and also both cases were somebody that had faith not for themselves, but for others. Not for their comfort of their life or that he would give them something. The one case is in Matthew chapter 8 where the centurion is asking Jesus to just speak a word so that his servant may be healed. And the other case is the Canaanite woman where she implores Jesus to heal her daughter even though she wasn't in the target audience of Jesus at that time. Because mature faith always looks outward. Robert J. Fortner said, Christianity is not about being self-sacrificing or self-indulgent, or it's not about being self-effacing or selfish. It's not about self at all. It's about Christ. Forget about yourself. So kingdom advancing, resolute faith, and this is where we want to arrive at as a church. This is where I want us to go alongside the eldership team, say, let's move forward. That's the army that Jonah was speaking about. Let's advance. That is the kind of faith where we obey the Great Commission. and say, we trust that Jesus will be with us until the end of the age. We're going to pray for the lost and preach the gospel. We're going to believe for healing and breakthrough and salvation and for provision. Can you imagine what will happen if all 600 of us have this kind of faith? We'll turn Durbanville upside down. The Cape region will never be the same again. And we are sending church. We'll go to the ends of the earth. It'll be like in Acts chapter 17, where people would say, the world is turning upside down. Would you respond and say, I want this kind of faith. I want to be used by God. In our midst this morning, it's a dear friend that looked me up recently. His name is Benjamin. Benji and Mia. Benji, would you quickly stand up, please? Over there, Benji. That's Benji, guys. So Benji, you can sit again. Benji. So Benji used to be in my youth group 13 years ago in Jeffreys Bay. And Benji is, Bible speaks about the seed being fruitful and multiplying 30, 60, 100 fold. And Benji is part of my seed that grew. Because he was in my youth group, he's still loving the Lord faithfully. Asked me to marry him a little bit later this year. He's engaged. It's awesome to see. And we get to be part of this. And many of you sitting here, you're going to have your own Benjis that many years from now are going to come to you and say, yeah. This kind of faith, the rewards is out of this world. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 8 says, each will receive a reward according to their labor. So back to the soils, which one are you?